Chapter 12 The Yoga of Devotion Verse 1
Arjuna uvacha Evam satata yuktaye bhaktastvam paryupasate ye chapyaksharam avyaktam tesham ke yoga vittamaha
Arjuna said Those devotees ever joined in yoga who worship you thus and those who worship the unmanifest, indestructible syllable, among them, which are the highest masters of yoga? Arjuna's vision of the Lord is only momentary, for he has to come down to the world of ordinary reality to perform his duty. But something unique occurs in Arjuna's life at that moment, and he develops great faith in the teachings of Sri Krishna. All miracles and visions experienced by the aspirant are actually the signs and symptoms that are experienced on the path, but they are not signs of attainment or fulfillment. The attainment is self-realization. The first verse of the 12th chapter puts forth a question that is raised in Arjuna's mind after he sees the vision of the Lord. Overwhelmed by that vision, Arjuna wants to know whether he should meditate on the form of the Lord or on the formless. The absolute truth is beyond the senses, mind, and intellect, and unless one attains that, final liberation is not possible. But if the final realization is attained, there is still another question to be answered. How should one conduct himself in the world? How should he function? After all, he still lives in the world of apparent reality. Sri Krishna is teaching Arjuna how to live in the external world. Verse 2
Sri Bhagavan Uvacha Maya Veshya Mano Yemam Nitya Yukta Upasate Shraddhaya Parayopetas Teme Yukta Tamamata.
The Blessed Lord said, Those who ever joined in yoga, entering their mind into me, worship me, endowed with highest faith, I believe them to be the most united in yoga. Most people cannot fathom the idea of meditation on the absolute, which is formless and attributeless. Only a fortunate few are able to attain that highest state of realization. The path of bhakti, devotion, is considered to be superior for those who are unable to realize the pure self. It is difficult to conceive of meditating without a form or object on which to focus the mind. Sri Krishna, therefore, advises Arjuna to have a concrete form for the concentration of mind, and he teaches Arjuna to worship the manifest form of the Lord with firm faith. The aspirant cannot concentrate his mind if he has no faith in his heart, and if he mechanically practices the technique of concentration. Whether one follows the path of bhakti or the path of jnana, self-realization, a one-pointed mind is important, and that cannot be achieved without concentration. Concentration of mind and faith are essentials for treading either path. The ordinary sadhaka or aspirant should have a concrete form for concentration and meditation before his mind is prepared for the higher realms. Sri Krishna says that those who are devoted solely to him, who worship him alone, are superior devotees. Such devotees have three positive qualities: full dedication of mind, complete dedication of their whole lives, and worship with full faith. It is only then that the fruit of devotion is secured. Then alone can one be considered to be a great devotee. Sri Krishna advises Arjuna to concentrate on an object that has qualities that will lead him toward reverence and devotion. If an object is chosen for concentration, but the meditator does not appreciate its qualities, the mind cannot concentrate on that object. The object chosen for meditation should have qualities that enable the meditator to respond to it. Any manifest form of the Lord possessed of excellence that suits the aspirant can be used as the object of concentration. Any aspect of manifestation that can be concentrated upon with firm faith is helpful to the devotee. One who fully devotes his life to worshiping and concentrating on any aspect of manifestation with unshaken faith can attain perfection.
Verses 3 through 5.
Those, however, who worship the indestructible syllable, the unmanifest that cannot be specified, the all-pervading, beyond thought, absolute, immovable, permanent one, who control the group of senses well, hold all to be alike everywhere, delight in benefiting all beings, they find only me. They have greater difficulty, whose minds are drawn to the unmanifest. The unmanifest way is found with difficulty by those who are dwelling in bodies. Those who contemplate on the non-manifest self beyond all forms think that saguna worship, the worship of form, is inferior to nirguna contemplation. Nirguna contemplation is focused on the absolute truth, which has no form, no name, and therefore no attributes. Although one cannot worship the formless, it can be a subject of contemplation. Those who find delight in the contemplation of the formless, nameless, and attributeless Brahman think that the worship of God with form and name, with attributes, is inferior. The path of nirguna is difficult, and there are chances for the aspirant to slip. Ordinarily, the mind needs a concrete object upon which to focus and rest, for the mind is in the habit of depending on concrete objects. It requires great preparation for the finest faculty of mind, buddhi, to be able to understand the difference between the self and the non-self, the real and unreal. But when buddhi is sharpened, one has the capacity to go beyond the realm of forms. Only a fortunate few tread the path of pure reason. Verses 6 through 8.
Yetu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya matparaha ananye naiva yogena mam dhyayanta upasate tesha maham samuddharta mrutyu samsara sagarat bhavami nachirat partha Maya Veshita Chetasam. Mayeva Mana Adatsva, Mayi Buddhim Niveshaya, Nivasishyasi Mayeva Ata Urdhvam Nasamshaya.
However, they who renounce all actions unto me are intent upon me. They worship me, meditating with yoga directed to no other. Their minds absorbed in me, I soon become their deliverer from the ocean of death and worldly cycle, O son of Pritha. Settle your mind only in me. Enter your intellect into me. Henceforth, you will live only in me. There is no doubt. Sri Krishna integrates the paths of devotion and knowledge. Seeing Arjuna's conflict in regard to saguna and nirguna practices, Sri Krishna states, 1. The Lord is the one single and highest goal of life. 2. Contemplate and meditate only upon the one truth without a second. 3. Concentration of the mind should not be on any object other than the Lord. 4. The entire sadhana of the aspirant is to be directed to the Lord alone. 5. All the faculties of mind, including buddhi, should be directed toward the Lord alone. 6. Dedicate all your actions and the fruits therein to the Lord alone. 7. Be a yogi. Identify yourself with your essential nature instead of with the world. When the aspirant realizes his essential nature and performs his duties skillfully and with non-attachment, he remains victorious and free, liberated. He is free from the snare of death, from the mire of delusion, from the rounds of births and deaths. The concepts of identification and identity are central to modern psychology. At first, the child identifies with his parents. Later, he identifies with other aspects of the apparent reality, so much so that he thinks of himself only as the apparent reality. He forms an identity or sense of who he is as a distinct individual, but that identity is actually based on complete confusion, for he has come to think of himself solely in terms of the world of forms and names. He takes certain qualities onto himself and attributes others to the world outside of him. According to yogic science, such identifications are completely erroneous and mislead one so that he creates apparent separation, distress, and conflict for himself and others. Sri Krishna exhorts the sadhaka to give up such false identification and instead of being absorbed in the world, to allow himself to become completely absorbed in and identify with the Supreme Lord. He tells Arjuna to enter into him, to become one with him so that there is no distinction. Then the sadhaka becomes an embodiment of the Lord. All of his actions are no longer his alone, but are the actions of the Lord. Many aspirants misapply this teaching. They think that they can become devoted to their teacher in the same way, and many teachers develop inflated egos and encourage their students to worship them and identify with them. Such identification merely produces carbon copies of the teacher. The aspirants walk like the teacher, dress like the teacher, and talk like the teacher. There are many such foolish students who have merely surrendered to the ego of another and have become dependent. Rather than giving up their illusions, they are ever more identified with and hypnotized by the illusory world of names and forms. Sri Krishna is not like other teachers. He asks the student to become free from the forms and names of the world and to identify instead with that which lies beyond, which is his true essential nature. Verses 9-11.
Atachittam samadhatum nashaknoshi maistiram, abhyasa yogena tato mamichaptum dananjaya. Abhyasepya samarthosi mat karma paramobhava, madarthamapi karmani kurvan siddhima vapsyasi. Ataitadapya shaktosi kartum madhyogam ashritaha, sarva karma palatyagam tata kuru yatatmava.
Now, if you cannot harmonize a stilled mind in me, then desire to find me through the yoga of practice, O Arjuna. If you are not even capable of practicing, then become intent on my acts. Even performing actions for my sake, you will gain fulfillment. Now, if you are unable to do even this, then, resorting to my yoga, do renounce the fruits of all actions, with your mind and self under control. It should be understood that Arjuna is not only speaking for himself, but represents all seekers, and that Sri Krishna answers Arjuna's questions for all aspirants. Sri Krishna says to Arjuna, if you cannot concentrate your mind on the form or on the formless Brahman, if you are not able to practice the worship of Saguna or the path of Nirguna, if you are not able to concentrate on me, you can practice Abhyasa, the path of performing actions for the Lord only. Even for the aspirant who cannot concentrate, meditate, or contemplate, there is a way to attain spirituality. Abhyasa means practicing, repeating the same method again and again until the goal is attained. In the path of spirituality, the student may find himself incapable of attending to his sadhana regularly and punctually. For lack of discipline and orderliness, the aspirant may slip back to his old habit patterns. In such cases, He should not abandon the path of spirituality, but should again make sincere efforts and practice his sadhana and make it a regular routine. Abhyasa should be done in an unbroken way. Steady practice is needed. If the aspirant thinks that practicing sadhana for some time and then abandoning it for a while will help him, he is wrong. One must make sincere and constant effort, regularly and punctually, toward the goal. If for some reason, such as ill health, an accident, or any other obstacle that arises, one cannot do his meditation, he should learn to dedicate the prime actions he performs, eating, drinking, sleeping, and so on, so that he can maintain constant awareness of the Supreme Lord. He should say to himself, I will do all actions for Brahman and dedicate all the fruits of my actions to Brahman. With that determination, the mind starts flowing in only one direction. This form of practice is equally beneficial. Many beginning students are stirred emotionally and overdo meditation. Then, after a few days or months, they abandon their practices. It is not helpful to do that. One should be aware of his own capacity and improve himself gradually and steadily instead of being emotional, overdoing things, and sometimes going beyond his capacity. The motivation for doing sadhana should be strengthened gradually. A moderate way of life in eating, sleeping, and performing other duties should be developed. In the beginning, the student should learn to dedicate his prime actions and gradually to dedicate all his actions. That brings about unbroken consciousness and awareness of Brahman. If the student is unable to dedicate all his actions, there is yet another way for him to become free from the bondage created by his actions. He should learn to dedicate or give up the fruits of his actions. If one lacks self-control, concentration of mind, and zeal to dedicate all his actions, then giving up the fruits of his actions is a way toward perfection. When the aspirant practices surrendering the fruits of his actions, in due course this way of being becomes part of his life. It is a profound and concrete worship. Dedicating the fruits of one's actions is the easiest way for most people. But those who cannot even do that should learn to practice self-control according to their capacities and abilities, and should cultivate the desire to have union with the Lord and to surrender whatever they can. Whatever act, great or small, that one can perform, surrendering its fruits will be helpful for his growth. If the aspirant follows a particular code of conduct according to which the fruits of his actions are not to be kept for his enjoyment, and if he gradually practices dedicating those fruits, slowly, his desire for enjoyment will be reduced. Finally, it will be reduced to the point of zero, and such desirelessness is a state of perfection. Verse 12.
Shreyo hi jnanam abhyasat jnanat dhyanam vishishyate dhyanat karma phalatyagas tyagat shantiranantaram.
Knowledge is better than practice. Meditation is distinguished as greater than knowledge. Higher than meditation is renouncing the fruits of actions. Immediately after renunciation comes peace. Continuing his comparison of various paths, Sri Krishna says that superior to sadhana is the path of knowledge, and higher than knowledge is the path of dhyana, meditation. The path of knowledge was discussed in the second chapter, and the method of dhyana was briefly described in the sixth chapter. In the eighth verse of this chapter, the method Sri Krishna imparts is to focus the mind, intellect, and heart on the highest self alone. But the aspirants who are not able to practice these paths should dedicate the fruits of their actions to the Lord. If the fruits of one's actions are not dedicated, no path of sadhana is helpful. Only by dedicating the fruits of his actions does one attain peace. Verses 13 through 20.
अद्वेष्टा सर्वभूतानां मैत्रकरुण एव च निर्ममो निरहंकारः समदुःख सुखक्षमी संतुष्ट सततम योगी यतात्मा दृढ़ निश्चय मय्यर्पित मनो बुद्धिर्यो मद्भक्तः समे प्रियः यस्मान्नो द्विजते लोको लोकान्नो द्विजते च यः हर्षामर्ष भयोद्वेगैर्मुक्तो यः स च मे प्रियः अनपेक्षः शुचिर्दक्ष उदासीनो गतव्यतः सर्वारम्भ परित्यागी यो मद्भक्तः स मे प्रियः यो न हृष्यति न द्वेष्टि न शोचति न कांक्षति शुभाशुभ परित्यागी भक्तिमान् यः स मे प्रियः समशत्रौ च मित्रे च तथा मानापमानयोः शीतोष्ण सुख दुःखेषु समः सङ्गविवर्जितः तुल्य निन्दा स्तुतिर्मौनी संतुष्टो येन केनचित् अनिकेत स्थिरमतिर्भक्तिमान् मे प्रियो नरः ये तु धर्म्यामृतमिदं यथोक्तं पर्युपासते श्रद्धधाना मत्परमा भक्तास्तेतीव मे प्रियाः
Bearing no animosity toward any being, amiable as well as compassionate, free of I, free of mine, holding pain and pleasure as equal, forgiving, always satisfied, with a controlled nature, of firm resolve, a yogi who has surrendered his mind and intelligence unto me, who is my devotee, he is my beloved. He from whom the world does not become excited, and he who does not become excited from the world, liberated from the agitations or exhilaration, intolerance, and fear, he is my beloved. Free of expectation, pure, dexterous, neutral, free of insecurities, he who renounces expectations of fruits from all acts that he initiates, who is my devotee, he is my beloved. He who neither rejoices nor hates, neither grieves nor desires, he who renounces all that is attractive or unattractive, whosoever is endowed with devotion, he is my beloved. Alike toward foe or friend, similarly toward honor or dishonor, alike toward cold and heat, as well as pain and pleasure, devoid of attachment. Equal to praise and censure, maintaining silence, satisfied with whatever. Homeless, with stable intelligence, whosoever is endowed with devotion, that man is my beloved. Those who follow this virtuous nectar of immortality that I have taught, maintaining faith, holding me supreme, those devotees are my deeply beloved. These verses explain the characteristics of the best of devotees. Such a one hates none and loves all, is kind to all, and treats everyone alike. For him there is no attachment to any particular person. He has no pride, regards misery and pleasure alike, forgives all, and practices spiritual sadhana regularly. Through his spiritual discipline, he is able to control his senses. It is important to control the senses, for they distract and dissipate the mind. Without control over the mind and senses, sadhana is not possible. One who is not motivated by desire for sense enjoyment, who performs his duty with full determination, and who dedicates his skills to the Lord's work is dear to the Lord. He who does not despise anyone, and whom no one despises, is not affected by success or failure, anger or fear. He who is single-mindedly devoted to his duty, and remains equally non-attached to gain and loss, is dear to the Lord. One who is able to attain the state of tranquility, not caring for honor or dishonor, who is free from the pairs of opposites, who maintains silence, who does not have any home for himself, whose mind is always one-pointed, and whose heart is full of faith, regards the Lord as his own self. Such a one who has secured the highest of knowledge is a blessed one. To be perfect is to remove all the imperfections in mind, action, and speech, Verses 13 through 20 describe the following virtues, which an aspirant should acquire on the path of perfection. 1. Hatred is the root cause of all misery, for by hating others, one isolates himself from the whole. Therefore, learn to love and give. 2. One should be a friend to all. He should not feel animosity toward anyone. 3. Kindness teaches one to be merciful and is a practical way of expressing one's love. Therefore, be kind and give. 4. Mine and thine are traps of Maya that bind one with strong chains of attachment. Do not become attached. 5. Do not possess anything, even a house of your own. Preoccupation with accumulating wealth is hoarding and is a reflection of greed. 6. Egoism and pride reduce one to nothingness, for the ego makes one petty and separates him from the whole. Full effort should be made to purify the ego. 7. When reaping the fruits of his actions, one should learn to be content. Contentment is the highest of all wealth, and without it, one remains unsatisfied and frustrated. 8. Expectation is a longing for enjoyment, and whether it is fulfilled or not, it creates dependency and robs the human dignity. Expectation should be abandoned. 9. One should practice self-control, without which the mind cannot be made one-pointed, and the energies cannot be concentrated. 10. A tranquil mind is undisturbed in all situations, favorable or unfavorable. One who has developed tranquility never grieves and is never deluded. 11. Determination builds courage and willpower, and leads to success in all spheres of life. 12. Firmness is a virtue that leads to fearlessness and self-reliance. 13. Non-attachment helps one to attain spiritual heights. It is the total absence of the desire for enjoyment. 14. Negative emotions lead one to extremes. Positive emotions can be substituted, for example, love in place of hate. 15. Giving up the fruits of one's actions brings great joy, freedom, and peace. One who gives up everything is the greatest lover of mankind. 16. One should remain a witness, a seer, not identifying himself with the seen. 17. With mind, action, and speech, one should be pure, free from stains and faults. 18. One should be vigilant, for carelessness becomes a stumbling block. 19. The desire for fruits is a hindrance in the path of skillful actions. Give up that desire. 20. One who loves all receives love from all. The expression of love should be practiced in daily behavior by giving the best one has. 21. One who has totally dedicated his mind, heart, and intellect is a true yogi. 22. One who is courageous can face any calamity of life. He remains even in all conditions. 23. Faith is the greatest of all virtues, provided it is based on pure reason and not mere belief. All of these virtues are the signs and symptoms of the great devotees of the Lord. Blessed are they who work hard to acquire these virtues and attain perfection. This chapter is devoted to the path of bhakti yoga, the path of love and devotion. Many students think that this is the easiest path, and many consider it to be a path of emotionalism, but that is not the case. To love and to be in love is not easy. The path of devotion and love is as difficult as the paths of jnana and karma yoga. In fact, it is more difficult because it requires single-pointed devotion toward the Lord alone, with purity of mind and heart. It is a conscious dissolution of one's individuality in the love of God. The path of love is full of giving without any expectation of reward whatsoever. It is not mere emotionalism, but the height of ecstasy where the lover and beloved become one and inseparable. In this path, there is no duality. There is no place for two. As the river meets the ocean, they become inseparably one. So it is in the path of devotion. Fortunate are those who are in love with the mighty Lord and remember His name in every breath. They remain free from the pangs of death. They are free from the rounds of births and deaths, for they remain wedded with the Eternal. Here ends the 12th chapter, in which the virtues that lead one to perfection are explained.